the sanctuary law to your elected officials, be they city, state, county, or federal.
Jess, Alyssa, please give your contact information.
Yeah, so our website is oregonforall.us. You can also find us on Instagram under Oregon for All.
It is PIRCOregon.org. So P-I-R-C, Oregon, all one word, .org. We're also on Instagram and Blue Sky, and our handle on Instagram, PIRC_PDX.
I've been speaking with Alyssa Walker-Keller with PIRC and Jessica Montoya with Oregon for All. This is Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to our engineer, and thank you for listening. Hello, listeners. I'm Karen James, a host of Prison Pipeline, asking you to donate to KBOO's Fall Drive, KBOO Out Loud. If you just listen to Prison Pipeline, thank you. Now show your support by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the donate button in the top right corner. You're tuned in right now because KBOO reports on these grassroots organizations working for change right in your community. So please support KBOO, your community radio station. Go to kboo.fm and please give.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. In short, the period was very much like the present period.
You're listening to community radio, KBOO Portland.
Hello? Hello? 1, 2, 3.
KBOO's loud and proud. Become a member during our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 20th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots, independent, radically made community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. That's kboo.fm/give and help us reach our $45,000 goal. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operation and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Policy and Governance Committee meets on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if the meeting is being held.
One, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0, 3.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
Hold up. Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Today, I want to talk to two powerhouses, people who have their shoulder to the grind and are 10 toes down, especially when it comes to the issue of economics. And in this particular case, how it is impacting Black women. Returning to the stage is Jennifer Easton. She is with SEIU, 1021. We had her on for Labor Day, and she was breaking a lot of things down, including what we're going to talk about today. And in order to broach that topic, we had to bring the OG, and I say that with a lot of affection, but somebody who's been in this fight for many, many moons. Her name is Ethel Long Scott. She's with the Women's Economic Agenda Project. And when we had Jennifer on for Labor Day, one of the things that she brought up was a really under-talked about story, which was what happened in the wake of the Doge purges. And I did not know that it was not one, not two, but 300,000 Black women lost their jobs. And considering the fact that Black women were the ones that really been the backbone of the Democratic Party, 92% voting, you would have thought that that would have been the rallying cry, that you would hear it at every press conference, that there would have been a call to arms. This is, you know, this is astonishing. This is just crazy. And that's coming on the heels of seeing high job losses for Black youth and the whole nine. And it's just been silence. And in fact, it's more than just silence. We have a president who's sitting there touting that things are looking good. And his followers, you know, if you listen to them, things are rosy, prices are lower, and, you know, everything is hunky-dory. So I wanted to bring you all back. We'll bring Jennifer back and have you on, Ethel, to talk about this situation and where it's headed and what we need to do. So let me start off with you, Jennifer. Since we talked, any changes, anything that we should know, you want to kind of give us a little 101 on this situation?
Yeah. Thank you, Davey, for having me back. It's an honor and a privilege, and I'm so excited to be here with Bay Area legend, Miss Ethel Long Scott. So, you summed it up. 300,000 Black women were cut from the federal workforce just in the first 6 months of 2025. It is disrespectful, it's rude, and it continues the same tired attack that we see America perpetrating against Black women and the Black family since the founding of this country, where Black women and Black people are expendable. We're convenient tools when we're around, and then we are disrespected and put aside when we're not. I mean, you can see it even at the US Open. Taylor Thompson, number one in doubles, making huge moves that she hasn't made in years in singles, getting into the Sweet 16, and then having a white European woman get in her face and tell her she didn't have class. And she was uneducated, and wait till you leave America. Like, it doesn't matter if you're an educated woman who is a highly skilled and trained federal worker, a director, a Supreme Court justice, or a tennis player, professional athlete, again, at the top of your skill set. Women who are Black are constantly and consistently disrespected and treated as though we are expendable. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm definitely here in support of all Black women, especially those who support other Black people. I don't necessarily want to drag folks through the mud who are wolf in sheep's clothing, but we know those exist because the poison of racism and the poison of white supremacy is that people want to be closer to power and further away from that which feels painful. And sometimes it can be bittersweet and painful to also have the experiences of being a Black woman.
Appreciate that. Let me bring in Ethel Long Scott. First question, are you surprised at where things are in terms of what Jennifer talked about? And two, have we seen this movie before? Is this something that has occurred in the past and we somehow managed to get through, or is this a new animal altogether?
So, Davey, you're seeing my face, right? And so my face is saying a lot of things, and I know your listeners won't be able to see my face, but it's saying several things. First of all, when I look back at this, we've only really had a taste of maybe 50, 60 years of some semblance of being, and I mean now as Black people, having some level of equality. And I'm kind of pacing this from the impact of the civil rights movement and even our advancement into industries like Miss Jennifer is in. We have always been in, before the civil rights movement, largely in low-skilled, low-paying jobs. But we were always fighting as a people to not simply get into the system, but for liberation. So when I look at this, it reminds me that we're really looking at systemic change. A lot of us and our listeners know about deindustrialization. A lot of times we do not talk about the impact of systemic technological advancements and how and the impact that that's having. So when I see this, I'm looking at how Black women had a refuge in federal employment as a result of the civil rights movement, right? But at the same time, when the microchip got applied, which we don't talk about, the impact has been disproportionately on Black people. And now we really are tracking on Black women. So I think your opening about the silence of the Democratic Party speaks volumes. And I think that it's an indication of what we mean by them being both out of step and not often representing the interests of the people who have had their backs and been there. So there's two, we're looking at multiple crises, an economic development, a technological development, and a political crisis. So in answer to your question, I wish I could say I was surprised, but I have to say, unfortunately, not only have we seen this movie before, but also we need to be ready.
You know, are we giving too much credit when we say that folks are out of step and out of touch? I think it's very deliberate and is very intentional at this moment in time, because it's such a glaring situation. And just going back to the fact that Black women have been such a backbone. We can toss away the Democratic Party for a minute, right? Because that might be a distraction to people. But just seeing that in a lot of organizing, and even if you, as you referenced, the civil rights movement, you know, it had as its figureheads, it's Martin Luther King's and what have you. But, you know, the Ella Bakers and absolutely, the Joanne Robinsons and all these women were primary drivers of that. Even with the Panthers, most of the absolutely membership were women. Absolutely. So this sort of situation where, in many ways, if we go back and look at what happened in the first term of Donald Trump, he wasn't able to do what he's doing now, because there were so many people that were in the fabric of the government that there was like, not on my watch. We ain't going to do that. And most of those frontline folks were Black women. So if you talk about saving democracy, it was those sisters that had put in years. And these weren't, you know, folks who just got there. They've been there for a minute. You know, they held it down for a few decades. So they're all gone. Those guardrails have disappeared. And so more than just the Democrats, who I think are complicit, but what about all the other folks that have platforms that have not said anything?
I think that you, and I know Jennifer will be jumping into this too, but I think that we're really looking at something so much larger, that this, we're looking at a step-by-step, law-by-law, precedent-by-precedent changing of the legal superstructure. That's way bigger than the two parties. We are talking about structural, systemic change that is happening, but largely our work doesn't always meet that strategic level and analysis of what's at stake here. I think we have both an opportunity, and we have crises and opportunity. And if we could get on the same footing about the problems that are coming at us, it's really, for me, as someone who's been involved in anti-poverty work, and you're so sweet, he says moons, decades and decades and decades, I can tell you that I've been involved in fighting around anti-poverty issues all of my adult life. And there are times that we had some ladders up and into the system, but now those have been incinerated. And so part of the incineration is the silence. Part of the incineration is this sense that, well, we're going to go along to get along. Now, thankfully, this younger generation is not having that. One, because they are being displaced also, and they are trying to establish what will be the new standards frankly, a transformational kind of system that allows them to thrive. So I think that this is what we're facing, and but we don't have enough discussion that about the technological displacements. Politically, we are confronting the Musk, the Thiels, Peter Thiels, the people right here in our Bay Area, right, who are movers and shakers, are changing the planet. But that's not the conversation we're having. And of course, Black women are kind of that canary in the coal mines. And some of your listeners won't know what I'm talking about, but I know Miss Jennifer can explain it.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you broke it down into the bigger analysis that is necessary and the wider strategy that we have to have, because you're exactly right. What Project 2025 is about is destroying the fabric of society as we know it, especially post-civil rights, but also post-Reconstruction.
Yes.
They are determined and clear and have said many times, we want to make America great again. And what that refers to is making it great for white men, not making it great for anyone else. They want to harken back to a time when America was segregated, when labor was free and easily exploited, when people who were not white were at the bottom, and that was it. And slave patrollers ran free. White men carried guns and no one else did. And you could come and be lynched anywhere at any time. Yes. And it was the site of joy for white families to gather around and watch bodies burn. That is not the America of my dreams.
No.
That is the America of my worst nightmare. And, you know, I feel as though I would do anything to prevent that America from becoming what is. And it, I think it's important for us, and you know, hopefully the listeners will hear this as a rallying cry. It is important for us to all band together, because when that America is the America that we enter into, no one is safe. You know, even the sheriffs in Florida who have given permission and consent for their deputies to be used by Trump, to be trained to be ICE agents, to be exploited in that way. Now the deputies are saying, hold on, guys, you're going too far, because the list that they gave of all their deputies' information saying you can call Billy Bob and Joe and Aaron, you can give them a call and you can tell them, come on down and get trained. Now the federal government is calling them and saying, we want to give you a $50,000 bonus. Leave your sheriff and come work for us. And the sheriffs are losing their mind. The white Republican MAGA sheriffs are saying, hold on, guys, you've gone too far. Don't come for my people. Well, who did you think they were coming for? They're coming for everybody. All they care about is building a system that destroys and using people to do so. That is what we're working with here. And we all have to be very clear about it, that it will erode all of our democratic freedoms, and it will erode life as we know it. And we have to stop it. And we can't be sitting back waiting for someone else. We are all complicit in our silence or our slow movement. And yes, we need leaders, but also each one of us is a leader.
One of the things that this makes me think of is something that, in working with community very closely at this time, you know, our strongest weapon is our unity.
Yes.
Now, sometimes we say that, you know, kind of flippantly, we need solidarity, blah, blah, blah. But we really are saying, because I really would challenge, right, these white supremacists, so-called Christian nationalists, et cetera, out of the horrific, the using of laws like from 1798. I mean, whenever people say those numbers to me, I'm a Black woman, I get like terrorized, right? Because this is pre-Civil War, right? And that's what they use to invoke these mass kidnappings, you know, of human beings, etc. But the point being is, you know, under the lie that it was only going to go after the worst people, and we're only going to go after the criminals, yet you up here deporting, you know, grandmoms and people at workplaces and folks of any, in anyone is, any dissenters can be subject. But we're looking at what I think, let's make it, for me, I have to say it. The words are fascism. And fascism isn't only authoritarianism, and it isn't just white folks, because God only knows we got a lot of crazy black folk who are mega crazy and a lot of crazy Latino folk who are mega crazy as well. But we're talking about this concentration of corporate dictatorship, the rule and the preeminence of corporate dictatorship. And we need to link that, because oftentimes the conversation is not about their rule and eminence over our lives. What is, and the destruction of electoral democracy, because that therein is where they have a focus. And I like what you said, Jennifer, is that we have to have a focus, but we don't right now. We're kind of hitting things tactically. You can't destroy someone's strategy with tactics. You need to have a strategy to destroy someone. And I think that this is so crucial. So the technology ain't our enemy. I want to make sure your listeners are hearing me clear. I think that this tremendous technology that we're, technological age we're living through, is wondrous. I think about the planet that can be healed. You're a healer. You're a healer of our psyche and our minds, and how that could be applied to humanity. But in the hands of a gazillion billionaires who really don't have any allegiance except to other billionaires, I don't even think they have allegiance to countries anymore. That's the problem that we have to, in our country, get focused on, and we are not. And we're feeling it in Oakland. I know you both, you live here, you know this. We're feeling it in power struggles and in efforts to try to sweep homeless and poor people, as opposed to providing a real ability for people to have solutions. And it's a very dangerous, dangerous time.
Right. One of the things that's the voice of Ethel Long Scott, if you're just tuning in, from the Women's Economic Agenda Project. We also have Jennifer Easton, who is with SEIU 1021, talking about what has happened in the wake of 300,000 Black women losing their jobs in the federal government, and what does that look like? What does that indicate? And where are we headed? One of the things that you said, you talked about technology, and I agree it's a double-edged sword. We're in a war right now, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. And what that war means to me, there needs to be a certain amount of education, political education, ideally, so that when you pick up the weapon, which is technology, you know how to use it. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm concerned that the weapon of technology is being weaponized against us in a couple of ways. First, look at the sleight of hand, and I'll use the mayor of DC, a Black woman, who will sit up there and say, listen to Black women. That comes out of struggle, that comes out of movement, that comes out of folks like yourselves who put in the work. And so when you say that, there's a politic that accompanies that. But without the politic and just the symbolism, listen to Black women. Mm. We need ICE. We need to thank Trump. Listen to Black women. He's making sure that our sons and daughters are safe, right? Mm. And then they go around and they find some, you know, person who really lost a loved one in D.C. I'm a Black woman from Southeast D.C. Right. You know, I lost my son, and we need ICE, right? So if you don't have political education and know that this is sleight of hand, these were handpicked people, et cetera, you'll go with the symbolism, and it's all up on your feeds. That's where it becomes dangerous. So if I click on my, my Facebook or whatever feed, there they are. Right.
Yes.
And so when you have the education, you study it, you're going, okay, wait a second. I'm seeing this in Chicago now, too. In fact, we just had the show with people talking about it. They have a well-funded organization. They found these sisters, you know, empower them, tell them that they're going to flip Chicago red. And they're like, I'm from the South Side. If you ain't from the South Side, you can't speak on these issues. So that's a wagging of the finger. A certain type of cosplaying, which leads to people who don't have relationship to go, she said, listen to Black women, must be right. And then they're saying, we need this National Guard, et cetera, et cetera. So all of a sudden, because they're amplified, I'm seeing the Candace Owen types.
Yes, yes.
Use your rhetoric and dress like you, sound like you, talk like you, but ain't you politically. Mm-hmm. And so that's a challenge right now. And I don't know how you navigate that, because in some ways, you know, sisters were the sacred cow. At least you could say, you said the canary in the coal mine. Mm-hmm. But if I got sisters up here that they found from here to, you know, I mean, from Oakland to D.C. Right. talking about, we need the National Guard, brother.
Right.
You ain't from the South Side. You ain't from West Oakland and all that. You know, folks get confused and go, well, maybe she's right, because that's the one I'm seeing.
You know, I have a lot of views about this, and I want to make sure that Jennifer also has an opportunity to jump into this too. I think that, you know, at the point that, one, you're absolutely right. I heard, I call him POS 47, and I know this is a family show, so your people will have to break down what that means. But when he was saying, I got Black women calling me, we all knew that was code for, they had designated folks that were raising this. And, you know, we live in a city that has already been threatened with occupation. So yeah. I think that we need to look at, the times are perilous, but I'm looking at the example of our sisters and brothers, frankly, from Los Angeles to DC to Chicago. I've been just so inspired by people coming out, say, with, you know, and affirming what, you know, rejecting the idea. And we should abolish ICE. I mean, they're just going to be a new, they are functioning as a new Gestapo. And we need to understand what that means. These are people, and this is a measure, because they can't, capitalism is in stages. And what we're having is politicians, and I remember around the time of COVID, when they were so upset when things were shut down so we could stay alive, and they were saying, if we have to die for capitalism so that our grandkids can have it, we're going to die. This is what they're operating on now. This is what, I mean, that was legislators, crazy legislators from Texas, but they weren't the only ones. And this is what we are having prevail now, with very moneyed, super rich people from Piedmont and throughout the rest of the country, either calling, removing our elected officials that we put into office, and or making it seem that the problems in our city is crime, crime, crime. And so that's the lie that they use to deploy National Guard, to militarize these forces against us. But that's not feeding, clothing, housing, providing right. education to our people. That's where we have to build and can build our unity. And our representatives who are doing that are about the right business. So Mayor Lee has this powerful plan for addressing homelessness, and a 5-point plan for that. We need to support and teach people. That needs to be a part of the bridge of doing our political education, in addition to the kind of historic things that Ms. Jennifer and David D that we've been talking about. So it's a renewed effort to do broader political education. A lot of young people who've never been involved in this stuff are now involved, and that's so encouraging, but it's also such a dangerous time. I'll stop it with that, because, you know, oh geez, we can go on for a while.
Well, I love what you said, and I want to respond to your questions, Davey, about messengers who trick us, because mm-hmm. I think we also have to have trusted messengers. We have to be able to say, actually, these are the folks we should listen to. So on Monday, I reminded folks that there is a woman coming to Oakland from Chicago who is a trusted messenger, Stacey Davis Gage. She's the Chicago Teachers Union president, and she'll be here Wednesday at 6:00 at the Teamsters Hall in Oakland on 7750 Pardee. I hope everybody comes and fills that space, the standing room only. I will definitely be there with this sister.
Wait, say the name again. And the address again.
7750 Pardee Lane. It's the Teamsters Union Hall. It's in Oakland near the airport. If you catch BART, you're gonna have a long walk. So carpool with folks, because it's a bit of a walk between the airport or the Oakland Coliseum Station and Pardee Lane. It's right by the old Walmart. So the reason I throw this sister's name out is because in Chicago, Brandon Johnson is the mayor. He has truly put a tremendous fight up. This morning, I saw that they have moved. You know, Chicago gets snowing. It's the Winding City, the Windy City. They put their salting trucks.
Yes,
ones I'm that so make impressed. The road resist ice.
Yes.
Literally,
yes.
They are using their salt trucks to resist ice and to block the pathway of entry into their city. That is their first line of defense. And these trucks look like tanks. They're giant industrial trucks. So people coming out of Chicago, some folks are being paid by MAGA. Mm-hmm. Some folks are being corrupted and they are distractions. So we have to trust people who are institutional leaders. Here in the Bay Area, we've got information coming from the Phoenix Project, which yes. is teaching us about where the money is, the origins of the money, who's been touched by the money. And we're talking about money that is evil, which most money is. Money is a tool which can be used, but in the hands of these people, they would totally use it for evil. And the recalls that they have spent their money on, which took progressive prosecutors out,
yes.
took school
yes.
board members out in San Francisco, yes. took our DA out here in Oakland, and now we have a DA who is releasing every police officer who has ever done anything wrong to people and had the potential to be prosecuted. The new DA has released them all. We're using this lie and distraction of crime and safety, which, yes, we all want to be safe, but as Miss Ethel said, safety means people being housed, people having food, people having access to dignified wages and jobs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that the reason politics matters, and often we can get caught up in the Democratic Party and this and that. Politics matters because politics makes policy.
There you go.
Political figures who get elected make policy, which moves money. Our Alameda County budget is $4.5 billion. The budget in Oakland is multiple billion dollars. The budget in San Francisco, we're talking about $15 billion. So a political elected official is moving billions of dollars every single day and every single year on repeat in our communities.
Yes.
If we don't pay attention to politics, it will eat us alive. And that's also what we're experiencing right now. For folks who thought, oh, I don't need to know. Oh, I can wait. Oh, I can just, I don't even have to vote. My vote doesn't count. Your vote counts billions. Your vote counts billions. And if you don't vote, like, I'm also not going to say that voting is some miracle cure.
No.
But it's the education. So we have to have trusted messengers. Miss Ethel said, Barbara Lee, the Women's Economic Agenda Project. We're talking about some unions that are trustworthy. I trust SEIU 1021. We're talking about the people like Oakland Parent Voices, or Parent mm-hmm. Voices Oakland, which is a parental organizing institute run and led by a Black woman.
Powerful.
The Ella Baker Center. We're talking about a lot of organizations, Casa Justa for mm-hmm. our white allies, mm-hmm. people who want to get involved. There are organizations in Oakland, in the Bay Area, doing excellent work right now, run by people who live here, who are embedded and who are dedicated, who are our true trusted messengers. And we have to be aware of how our behavior or our silence is going to impact us, because politics is doing us like never before. Right. We are clear about how politics is doing us. So we have to do politics in addition to this other stuff.
That's the voice of Jennifer Easton. To build off of what I was saying, if we're at war, and one of the weapons is to use a Black face, a Black feminine face, and then have mm-hmm. them switch the politics. The flip side to that is to show the dehumanizing nature of Black folks, Black women. Mm-hmm. And it should come as no surprise that how technology has been used, and now we know very well funded, these websites that are in every city that just show crime narratives and crime
yes.
views.
Yes.
You know, we were just talking with the folks in Chicago, and they have a well-funded one that is, you know, the equivalent to the Oakland State of Minds in the Bay Area State of Minds that, yeah. you know, all they show is the crime videos. But you're starting to see, okay, they're showing sisters in the worst light. Right. Yeah. They're showing sisters fighting. They're showing sisters yelling. They're showing, you know, folks who may have mental issues and, you know, suffering an episode, but that's not framed that way. So it's either become a macabre form of entertainment, or it's become a political tool to say, this is why we need the National Guard, and this is why we shouldn't even listen to Black women, because look at how crazy they are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that becomes the face as well. And Ethel, maybe you can comment on this, but we've been on that trajectory for a long time, starting with the days of the Sally Jeffrey Raphael shows and mm-hmm. all the way up to the Jerry Springers, where they yes. found that they can get a lot of eyeballs by putting a crazy person on there. You know, somebody who lived up to the Sapphire stereotype and just enhanced that. And that has paid dividends. And, you know, now I can sit up here and look at TMZ and, you know, they'll show that, which, you know, you started off the show by talking about, well, Jennifer started off by talking about the sister Taylor that was playing in the US Open. Well, that European lady probably had that diet of, I've seen these black women on my feed acting crazy all the time. So now it becomes a twofold. One, who's amplifying this and how do you check them? Because they're showing the worst of us. And two, how do we get people not to necessarily be respectable, but in a war, you don't want to show your hand. You don't want to be that person that is out there that they can now say, see, Dave is crazy. Now, this is why we need to shut everything down, because you are being used in a way that's going to harm all of us at this point in time. As they say, maybe you need to tuck your chain in and you know, carry yourself differently.
So one of the things that I find important in orienting is to be clear that we have had more than 400 years of war being made on us. Yes. And we can look at different stages of that process. But when people are talking about the bad behavior of this or that individual, I go back to systemically, what have been the messages that have been sent and that have been put forward? Some in our own community are quick to turn to and say, well, we need this extra policing because the black youth are the problem. And any of us who have picked up a book will know that what happens with our young people is an expression of, you know, decades and centuries really of problems. But if we think about it as war being made on us, there's a certain, you know, what it does for me, Davey and Jennifer, is it helps me to be oriented that I don't have the wiggle room. I've got to study, I've got to understand how they've used psychological tools, how they've used messaging, how they have used different components of things to make us believe that we are the problem and we are the enemy. So I do think that this question, the technological aspects, they're multifaceted when you're looking at someone like who owns Twitter, who can put out, I mean, Davey and Jennifer, you guys know it better than I do, but I don't know how many people they reach with their lies that are amplified many, many times over. So it's very important that we utilize our time to help us focus on what's really going on and how millions of people can't be simply facing the same problems. They aren't just individual problems. They are individual hardships, but when I look at what's going to happen with these 300,000 women, they are about to be a part of becoming this new class that's been developed, which is a class of people that have been displaced. I mean, I think about, for those of us who are born and raised here or have moved here, I can remember when I moved here in the 80s, the Black population was something like 47%. Yes. The Black population today in Oakland is something like 21%. Where'd all the folk go? Well, they were displaced by an economy that essentially priced them out in rents, priced them out in numerous factors. And so people turn inward. And I think a part of our political education, when I look at something like Communities for Change, council member Carol Fife's supportive and important mass-based organization. They've done a really great job at doing that door knocking, that constant education. But I think we have to do it on multiple levels, right? And we're talking about building solidarity that really speaks to solutions, not just, you know, this quote unquote immediate gratification. So I think that these are things that help us position ourselves and organize ourselves so that we can better expose, well, who are these people benefiting? They're not really talking about making this community safe for 30% some odd people who have been pushed out of Oakland. And I'm giving Oakland as an example. I know your listenership is national, but just as a microcosm, right, of, because you could say Baltimore, you could say Chicago, you could say DC. But I think that this idea that our complicity with our the people who would harm us, and they are cross, they are multi racial, they are in, they are from various genders, primarily though, primarily white, male led. But I mean, you look at that cabinet, and I mean, I'm just ashamed. These women who boo-hoo now for the poor women from Epstein, but you know, decades, we've known this stuff. Trafficking, and God only knows the trafficking that's happening right here in Oakland. So we need to be on a war footing, but we don't have all of our tools in place. And we need to, I think shows like yours, Davey, are helping, and we need more of them so that more voices and more of this process of how we're trying to build a solidarity and a vision in the way that Brandon Johnson or Carol Fife and others have been working hard on behalf of the people who have been the most oppressed and the most exploited, but that we have to have a broader vision that involves all of us moving forward. I'm worried about our city being occupied, and I think others are as well. So I think these kind of shows are very timely, and I think we have to learn the lessons, as I said, from Los Angeles to Chicago, because they're doing some very important things of trying to move from a defensive position, I think, in the thinking of our people, to offensive. And I think that's, I know that's something that's always been on your mind, Davey, and all of the years that I've known you and all of the shows that you've done.
Well, one of the things, we had some folks from Chicago on the other day, and a couple of things that they made clear. One, Brandon Johnson is following their lead, not the other way around.
Yes.
He got elected because of much of the work that the guest I had on did. There's large coalitions, and they said they've been preparing for a very long time. They were preparing before he even got into office. Exactly. That's one. Two, the tactic that is used, and this makes sense now, is like they're not concerned about Chicago. It's the cities around it. So he said ICE and all these agencies had been in Cicero and or in the suburbs. Yes. And so, yeah, you know, so the thing is, it's like they might not come to Oakland, but they'll be in San Leandro. They'll station themselves in Piedmont. They'll go to Kensington and Albany and places like that. And you know, and that means that they can do the operation and then, you know, be in a space where you actually have people going, this is what we want. You know, remember, many of the people that had issues were from outside, Piedmont, Stanley, you know, and other places. So that's a thing to also keep in mind as well. And then, you know, they talked about all of a sudden the police ain't policing, and, you know, all of a sudden you have a surge that pops up, and these things are you know, depending on how you want to frame it. For example, the headlines were 58 people were shot in Chicago. But if you actually look at how many people were shot in the United States that same weekend, it is an enormous amount. It's like 300 or 400 people, right? So it's not, you know, so you can look and be like, damn, all these places. And as they were pointing out, it's like, go to South Carolina, go to Memphis, go to these other places where it is really on some next level violent stuff. But they're not going to go to South Carolina and those places because, you know, it's not politically expedient and it doesn't fit the agenda. The agenda, as they pointed out, is not to get rid of crime. It's to get rid of movement, folks.
That's exactly.
You, Jennifer, and, you know, and other folks, and cripple that and you know, maybe replace it with some nefarious folks.
who
are paid off to keep. Go ahead, Jennifer.
I want to say, Davey, that you were speaking something that was a fear of mine. So in my union at SEIU 1021, I serve as a vice president of organizing. I was elected into the position by the membership. And when I put my name down, I was afraid because I knew that I'd be putting a target on my back. Hey guys, I'm an organizer. Hey, I'm not just an organizer. I'm a Black woman, I'm a union organizer. Look at me. And that fear exists, but it didn't stop me. And I want everybody to hear this also. Do not be stopped by your fear, because your fear will not save you. I think one of the things that you both were mentioning about gentrification, and how far spread out we have become. You know, the 47% in Oakland, 5% in San Francisco. You know, we can just think back to cities like Tulsa, where we had Black Wall Street and where we had this deep concentrations of Black citizenry. My hometown, New Orleans, after Katrina was decimated, right. Black people had no choice but to leave and were taken to strange places. And now we're on the 20th anniversary. We had this, the Great Migration brought so many people together, Black people into these communities to build those communities. And now because of gentrification, because of rent hikes, because of the mortgage crisis in 2007, which accelerated it all, because of corporate land ownership, because corporations are greedy and the people who run them are very greedy. They just keep hiking the rent, increasing the price of food. Inflation is what we heard about during the last election, but what we're really seeing is price gouging, right. And people suffer the consequences. You lose your job. Most Americans don't have $400 in cash. They just do not, can't handle one emergency. And now we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people who were laid off from the federal workforce and will have a hard time getting reabsorbed. So that enhances what we once knew as the Great Migration. Now we have reverse migration, out migration, people being forced to leave their communities, and it waters down our power. And I think one thing that MAGA was hopeful about is really taking advantage of diminishing our multiracial alliances. And they were trying to target people who were pro-Black and understood that if you support Black people, you will raise everyone's standard. You will lift up everybody out of poverty mm-hmm. when you support Black people. You mm-hmm. will make everybody more healthy when you support Black life. But by doing things like you mentioned, the Jerry Springification of the internet algorithm, bringing back the image of welfare queens, which was a key word when I was a child definitely. In the 80s. You know, it was crack and it was welfare queens. Mm-hmm. And it was just like Elon Musk said, those people who would take from our society and siphon off the resources, when the true people who are siphoning off the resources are people like him.
Right.
And, you know, like you don't get to amass $1 trillion unless you've stolen $1 trillion. Like that's imaginary money, but it's real. And right. he's using it to control elections, not just in this country, but in others. And the only thing we can do is, as Ms. Ethel said, is have community. We have to band together. This is a time for strength in numbers. We must use time as a partner so that we can build. We have to create as many structures as possible. And, you know, I think the Black Panthers 10-point agenda is a perfect model.
Yeah.
We can take our communities back and make them healthy again. The Black Panthers were feeding children. They opened healthcare clinics. They were protecting one another, mm-hmm. they were educating one another. And, you know, even if you don't agree with taking machine guns to the state capitol, you must agree that our need to educate our children and this political education you speak of, Davey, is what we have to take into our own hands, because the weapons have been formed against us. They are coming. And in order for us to protect ourselves, we have to educate ourselves and we have to band like deep, deep bonds. The bonds that have been fractured, we have to resist that, because all the tools of the empire are being used against us.
Sure. I mean, I think that's, as Davey was speaking, I don't know who you had on, Davey, but I was thinking about the old Harold Washington machine.
That, yeah, they talked yes. about that. Yeah,
okay,
they talked about because what we talked about legacy, it was a sister named Lakeisha Gray Sewell and brother David Stavall, and you know, and one of the things that we brought up was Chicago had already been through totalitarian rule. Under the Daleys.
Thank you.
They went through the whole history of how that worked and how that led to Hal Washington.
Yes.
And then the second Daley came on after Washington. Many people think he was poisoned, but we can get into that another way. But Brandon Johnson, you know, the current yes. mayor, is a result of this new organizing that has taken place with a younger generation. But one of the things that they went into detail about was that the Second Daily youth patronage. Looked around and they found people that they could literally pay off. Yes. Right. And we see that now.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So we see a lot of people who have a rhetoric like the sister that was in D.C. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, while she's sitting there saying, I'm from Southeast and we need ICE. Right. And what have you. You forget that she was funded and is a protege of Michael Bloomberg. You see what I'm saying? So those type of things, right?
No, and that's the kind of homework we have to do in terms of our political education. I would add Sister Carol Lewis. I mean, Stacy comes out of a tradition, and Sister Carol Lewis was an important pillar in Chicago's politics.
Yeah.
She, of course, succumbed to cancer. And I had learned this young woman, I'm just learning of this young woman's and her leadership, powerful. All of these things, you know, we have some of us put it in the big tent of resistance. That's important. I don't want to take away from that, but I think we also want to talk about this is an opportunity for transformation as well. When I look at someone like Mamdani in New York, mm-hmm. who is shaking Wall Street, they are mad at this little 33-year-old guy who has the nerve to talk about a campaign for affordability. Yes. Of rents, childcare, transportation, and food, and that with some justice relative to Gaza. This makes him persona non grata, and it makes him for the people that they brought out. Because I think we have to think about this. How do we involve new voters? Reverend Barber speaks a lot about this, that the largest swing vote was poor. Because 90 million people didn't come out for whatever various reasons. And I think that we have to think about these things in terms of the kind of structural changes that is suggested by being in end-stage capitalism. All right, so what does this technology allow us to think about, imagine that could be built forward? But we also have to get on the same page with leaders, mm-hmm. and I love what you're saying, Jennifer. We have to understand the power of the policy aspect. It's not like the rulers are going to let us elect them in and out of power. I don't want nobody to leave this conversation saying Ms. Ethel said that. Nope, didn't say that. But I'm saying that it can be a school for teaching about this power issue, for engaging in this process, and it matters. When we have a proposal that is before our city council in a few days that says that we should be moving in a proposal for abatement of the poor in the city of Oakland, treating the poor and homeless people as trash as opposed to human beings. We know that our mayor has a very strong proposal. We need to let that proposal move forward, and we also need to understand that we've got men, women, and leaders from many different backgrounds of the homeless themselves who are putting forward people with impacted experience, who are putting forward powerful proposals for how we can have real solutions and not do further harm to the people. Sometimes, frankly, as old as I am, they've been on the streets for 15, 20 years, as well as are very young, who are being displaced as well. So what the powers in Piedmont and others, they've said they want to take out this legacy of progressive leadership in Oakland. Well, so they put their nickels down and they put the people in place that they think will do that. We have to be clear that we have power as well. And that power is in our ability to think these processes through, to support the people who are stepping forward, and also to build broader alliances. And I think that that's going to be really, when I look at what they've done there in Chicago, they didn't just, as you said, brought out them powerful ICE trucks, but they've been educated. I mean, to have a proactive set of demonstrations before legally the boots have hit the ground. I guess they're poised at the naval station. It doesn't hurt that the mayor and the governor have been on the same page and said, "It don't help us this way. We don't need your help in this manner." And I think that there has to be much more of this kind of teasing out of what is it that families and people need to live lives with dignity. That's a different right. kind of policy. And that's the kind of things that I think that our Mayor Lee, because after all, we're the ones that voted for her. That's not who they wanted us to vote for. But that's right. who we, you know, we were able to right. to get a stellar fighter like her.
We're going to have to wrap up. So I want to do a couple of things. One, with less than a minute, Jennifer, anything you want to let people know, any marching orders?
Absolutely. Yeah. Come on Wednesday. Turn out to come hear Stacey Davis Gates speak. And, you know,
and that address again is on Pardee.
That address is 7750 Pardee Lane.
At 6 o'clock.
Old Walmart off of Hagenberger. It's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, September 10th.
Okay.
So I'm in a movement to organize childcare workers throughout Alameda County because we won a major victory called Measure C. Measure C brought a tax to all of our taxpayers, $150 million. Every year is coming to the coffers of Alameda County to support and provide child care assistance, child care slots, and to enhance the pay of early childhood educators. And on Friday, we will be having a film screening. The film is called Make a Circle at the New Parkway Theater on 24th. Friday, September 19th. So that's next week. This week, Stacy, next week, come and see the children. This filming, there's going to be a panel discussion. It's sponsored by First Five of Alameda County because we have got to continue organizing with parents, with children, with educators, with all of our community. And I do hope to see you all there. Thanks, David.
Jennifer, thank you so much. Ethel Long Scott, thank you. We will see you Wednesday. For people to come out to support the homeless plan that Barbara Lee is putting up. So
11 thank o'clock.
You. 11 o'clock meeting. City uh-huh. Council meeting. So uh-huh. so we will look out for that. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We're out for now. Peace.
Hard Knock. Turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program. Turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man. Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation. Stimulating ill conversation. Anything else you just imitate. Simulation. Step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio. Let's go. Big shout out Anita and Davey D. Yeah, right. Feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kind of crazy though. Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on. Check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't gone all in and ain't paid the cost for the fee. Hating that they made they beats trying to eat till it ended from the steel grave beef safely. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Saying peace to their lovers I need with a please. Maybe some shade on your name in the street. You go. But he ain't David G.
Real Talk Radio. You and I rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
7 on your FM dial.
KBOO's loud and proud. Become a member during our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 20th.